Good morning, and welcome to the Donna Sebo Show. Donna is an international mental practitioner, award-winning author, counselor, speaker, teacher, and radio TV personality. Dedicated to empowering others through her mental skills, she also features authors and experts from all over the world to share their knowledge and experience with you, the listening audience. Now, let's join Donna and her guests. Here's Donna.
Hello and welcome to an hour of mind power. This is Donna Sebo and we've got a wonderful hour ahead today. This is going to be an open mic day. I don't have any guests scheduled, so the entire hour, any one of you, if you'd like to call in and chat with me, those phone lines are open for the entire hour. Here are the telephone numbers toll free for you to call in. If you're in the U.S., the number is 877-876-5227. That's 877-876-5227. From Canada, the telephone number is 888-810-8322. That's 888-810-8322. And for anywhere else, 530-876-3222. Again, phone lines are going to be open for the entire hour. And I wanted to start the show off with a quote by Margaret Fonteyn, who was known around the world as a phenomenal dancer, and I never had the good fortune of seeing her in person, but she was so remarkable because she was one of these people that went way, way beyond the normal time frame for a dancer, and to watch her dance was just exquisite. The movies I've watched of her have just absolutely been awesome. She was quite a gal, and she said, "If I've learned anything, it's that life forms no logical patterns. It is haphazard and full of beauties, which I try to catch as they fly by, for who knows whether any of them will ever return." This is a woman that had learned how to live in the present, and she savored life as much as possible. She had her ups and downs like the rest of us. But I wanted to start off the show today with a quote by Margaret Fonteyn because there's a gentleman that I wanted to pay my respects to today. I had been on the phone to his publicist yesterday, and I learned that he died on a plane crash, not a plane crash, but on a plane flight to New York City this month of January. And this is Dr. Richard Carlson. He was the author of the New York Times bestseller, Don't Sweat the Small Stuff. But 15 years ago, he wrote a book called You Can Be Happy No Matter What. And they had just sent out the 15th issue of this, and it's the 15th anniversary edition. And there was a new preface that was put in by the author. And I thought, this was so poignant because when I read Margaret's quote, Margot's quote, when I read that quote and then I had already reviewed his book and was going to be booking Dr. Carlson as a guest, and then I was given the information that he had died of this coronary, and he was only 45 years old, on his flight to New York to do an appearance, I thought, life is so precious, and we don't always know. Some people do, but most people, we get so caught up in looking ahead. It's like we're going to worry about everything that goes on, and we are going to wait for our happiness or wait for our good down the road, when we have the car, when we have the house, when we have the perfect mate, when we have the perfect whatever that we formulate in our minds. And we don't take advantage of right where we are in a moment and appreciating what we have and enjoying where we are in that moment. Because sometimes that is just like with Dr. Carlson. He had no idea he had a heart problem. And when he had the major coronary on the flight, there wasn't too much they could do. So by the time they landed the plane, he had passed away. But he left a wonderful legacy, and he had been writing books for, obviously, a lot of years. And again, I know so many of you are familiar with a little book, Don't Sweat the Small Stuff. And this one, You Can Be Happy No Matter What, Five Principles for Keeping Life in Perspective. I thought that I would just share with you one of the things that he has in his introduction, because when they were doing the 15th anniversary edition, he wrote a new preface. He said he had a hard time believing the 15 years had passed by since he had published the original edition of this book, You Can Be Happy No Matter What. And he said that someone had suggested to him that what he wrote in the preface of his book 15 years ago was fine for that time, but they said today's different. It's much more difficult today to be happy than it was back in the 90s. And he said, yes, that apparently appears to be true. However, what doesn't change are the universal principles that when we truly practice them, point us in the direction of happiness. And he said, the consented state of mind is always present whenever we're not interfering with it, not using our thinking as a weapon against ourselves. And this is what is in the last paragraph of the preface, which I thought was so timely to share with you today since we have an open mic day. Life is a gift to be treasured. When we remove the obstacles that originate in our own thinking, we begin to appreciate this gift like never before. My deepest hope is that everyone who reads this book will be positively touched in some way. If there's one thought I'd love to leave you with, it's this. You can be happy no matter what. You really, really can. And he has five principles of psychological functioning that he talks about in his book. One is thinking, the other one is moods, the other one is separate psychological realities, and also feelings in the present moment. And I thought what I would like to do is just cover the aspect of thinking a little bit today. I don't know about you, but sometimes the mind just gets so busy. Do you ever find your mind chattering? It's often called the monkey mind. And you have a conversation that's going on in your head almost 24 hours a day. Anybody that says that the mind should not have a thought in it, I don't know of anybody that experiences that, because it's part of who you are. The mind, the brain, is constantly working. It's constantly processing the billions of pieces of information that are being processed through it every second of the day. It's just amazing the way the brain-mind functions. But your mind is a very interesting something, because when you realize that your thinking is something that you really, really have control of, it can put you into a whole different perceptiveness. And that is what Dr. Carlson wanted to be sure to help people to understand, because he said thought is a function of our consciousness. We are the producers of our own thinking. Now, there are so many people that I've interviewed on my radio show that in their own way express the same thing. And I think for any individual, when you can do the shift in your mind, when you find you're maybe going through a real difficult time and you say, wait a minute, I can't control this situation, I'm going to do a shift right now. I'm going to go and maybe bake some cookies, or I'm going to take a walk around the block. I'm going to do something. I've got to get out of this thinking process. It's amazing how the mind, our thinking, creates often what we perceive are feelings. And it's just amazing how when we can recognize that, we shift things. And I'm going to share a story about Denzel Washington later on that is a good illustration of that. But I can remember learning a lesson when I was younger, and it took me a while to really figure it out. But I can remember being told when I was just a little girl that whenever you were to be on stage, whenever you would be in front of people, oh, don't be nervous now. Just don't be nervous. Are you aware that one of the biggest fears that people have is public speaking? Well, some people are natural hams and just love being up front, don't have any nerves at all. But most of us are indoctrinated that being up front is something to be afraid of, that there is this emotion that we're supposed to have. And it's everything from sweating bullets to, you know, having our knees knocked together when we're trying to speak. And he had some real good experiences relative to this, but going back to what I experienced, I can remember being asked to do a solo. And I rehearsed it and I knew it so well. But I had been told by so many people that when I was up in front, that not to be nervous. Whatever you do, don't be nervous. Well, for heaven's sakes, when you tell somebody that, what are you going to do? You're going to get nervous, aren't you? Because you're told that's what you're not supposed to do. It's like telling someone, don't see the elephant. And you'll say, what elephant? And immediately you've got an image of an elephant in your head. They'll say, oh, no, there's no elephant. Don't look at the elephant. What are you going to do? You're going to look at the silly elephant. So it's the same thing. So we get indoctrinated with certain thoughts. And those thoughts are so powerful, they initiate feelings. And often we will get so caught up in that thought that we have those feelings, regardless of what the circumstances are, regardless what they are. And then we think it's particular circumstances that are dictating our feelings and what's happening around us. The individual that can relate to various circumstances within their own level of self-assurance and with a calmness is the person that realizes that they are in charge of their mind. Have you ever been called upon in an emergency to respond? And you find yourself doing it and you go, wow, that was easy. Why was it easy? It was easy because you stepped outside of yourself. Now, this is nothing new. William James, who is considered the father of American psychology, said many, many, many years ago, thinking is the grand originator of our experience. So, we go through all of these thinking patterns. We might have a date with somebody, and we go out on the date, and we go, oh my goodness, my hair is not going to look good. This is going to be wrong. Did I remember to put on the right deodorant? I wonder if my perfume or cologne is too strong. Or we go through all kinds of, this person doesn't do this, that, or the other. We've got all of this stuff going through our heads, and by the time the actual date shows up, we don't know that the person has a chance, guy or gal. And we sometimes are so overwhelmed just by our own thinking that we freeze, that we're not comfortable with the situation. Well, thinking and thought, how can you manage them? It's by being presently, consciously aware with them, of them, with them and of them. And when you can do that, then you're going to exhibit a control that is going to empower you as an individual. So many times I can recall going through life, and I'm sure you've done it too. Maybe you were all dressed up, and with we women often, it's we get a run in our hose, and it's just like, oh, the whole world is going to drop dead just because we, and just with embarrassment because we've got a run in our pantyhose. Forget it. They don't even notice most of the time. And I realized that I had finally gotten to a point of maturity when I was doing a speaking engagement one time, and I was on the road traveling. And I was staying somewhere, and I was in a hurry, and I had to put shoes on. And I found, just before I was still on stage, I had a pair of shoes on that were identical in style, but one was brown and the other one was navy blue. And that, it was called that an embarrassing moment. But I said, what am I going to do? I'm sitting here. I'm getting ready to go up to speak. Am I going to worry about my shoes, or am I going to do a fabulous program? I forgot all about the shoes. I did the fabulous program, and nobody even made a comment. I don't think they even noticed. If they did, they were very polite and didn't say anything. The truth was, when I was up on stage, what made the difference was that I was having a good time with what I was doing and presenting. But I had to shift my thought. If I'd allowed having on a pair of shoes of different color to distort my thinking, I wouldn't have been able to give a good seminar. And that is the power of understanding who you are and where you are is determined by how you feel about yourself. So what if you get these negative thoughts in your head? What if you feel like you're a failure? And so many times things will come into our head. We're not asking for them. They're just there because we've heard them sometimes through the years of, oh, you're too fat, you're too skinny, you're too short, you just don't have what it takes, you don't have charisma, you don't have this, you don't have that. How many times have we been criticized? Where are you putting your thoughts? Well, you can watch these thoughts. And again, it's like a monkey mind. You can watch them go through, and you can look at them and say, that's very interesting. But you know what? I don't think I want to be bothered with you right at this moment. And you replace the negative thought with, I am attractive. I feel good about who I am, and I'm going to have fun. I'm going to have a good time wherever I am, whatever I'm doing. This is my moment, not the negative thought. You can pick and choose the thoughts you want to react to. And often our thinking that we go through, the processes we go through, are part of what we do to evaluate what's going on around us. They often come from a belief system. And one of my favorite stories is about Napoleon Hill, and when he was doing an appearance, and this was something that really impressed me, because he said he was doing this appearance, and this gentleman comes up to talk to him, and he said, "I so appreciate your talk, Mr. Hill. You were just a wonderful man." He goes to shake his hand, and Napoleon Hill looks down at the man's hand and jerks his hand back, looks at the man with this nasty look on his face, turns his back on him, and walks away. Now, this person had not done a single thing to Napoleon Hill. Now, Napoleon Hill, within minutes, said to himself, "What are you doing? What in the world is going on with you?" What he did, his response patterning, made no sense at all. This isn't the way he treated people. This isn't the way he did things. Here's this very famous man who has been so involved in studying people, and he exhibited this behavior. This was uncalled for. So he was really tough on himself, and he said, "You know what? I'm going to have to examine myself. Where did this come from? Why did I do this?" Well, when he went through his memory banks, he was saying, "What was it? What was the trigger for this?" He finally figured out that it was a ring that the man was wearing, and he was wearing a Mason's ring. Well, Napoleon Hill's father was very much against anyone who was a Mason. He had a real bias and a real prejudice against Catholics and anyone that had anything to do, or not Catholics, but anyone that had anything to do with Masons. And he said, this is something that his father was so adamant about that he just was so strong about. He said, it stuck in me, and I realized that I had responded to something that my father had had an opinion about that I really didn't care about at all. So one of the components that we have to be aware of with our thinking is that we need to, one, be aware of our thoughts. We need to realize that we're the ones that are in charge of those thoughts, and we have the option to act the way we want to on our thoughts, and when we're consciously present with them, and that was the lesson Napoleon Hill wanted to pass on, be aware that sometimes you have triggers that will cause you to react a certain way. They have no logic to them whatsoever when you really get down to it. But maybe it's something you somehow have absorbed because of an environment that you were in. And that's where fear, ignorance, and superstition can often be our biggest enemies. So just be aware. Your thoughts are things, and only they are of that reality when you make them create an action. So if you're going to create an action with your thinking, be aware of the action you want to demonstrate. Make sure that you are doing what you want to do. And you can really take charge of who you are, where you are, and what you want to see in your life. You can be the boss. And I think that that's so very important. Remember, thought is a function of your consciousness. And we're the producers of our own thinking. That puts a lot of responsibility in our court, doesn't it? A very strong responsibility. So thought isn't something that happens to us, but it's something that we do, that we create, because that's the nature of it as human beings. That's what we do. Richard Carlson, I'm sad to hear what happened with Dr. Richard Carlson, but he left a wonderful, wonderful legacy. So his book, You Can Be Happy No Matter What, I just wanted to honor this man because he lived his life according to his own belief system, and he believed that he could share it through his writing, which he's done. And in that legacy, I think he's going to be able to nourish the minds, attitudes, and feelings of a lot of people on this planet. I know he has for me. This is Donna Sebo. This is an open mic day today. If you'd like to give me a buzz and let me light up your life with a little bit of intuitive insight, give me a call at 877-876-5227. That's 877-876-5227. Now, if you want to call in from Canada, our toll-free number is 888-810-8322. That's 888-810-8322. And I want to let you know about the guests we're going to be having for the rest of this week. Tomorrow, we're going to be talking about the four realities of success during and after college. Bob Roth is going to be our guest. And then we're going to be talking about the tobacco holocaust, Dr. Michael Rabinoff. Two wonderful people that have a lot to share. And by the way, you will, if you're in Alaska and you're listening to this broadcast, I am going to be going into Fairbanks, Alaska, as well as Anchorage. And I'm going to be available for private appointments, and I'm also going to be doing a special presentation while I'm there. So you can go to my website and look up my last newsletter at DelphiInternational.com, and you'll find out about all the information and the presentation. And if you have any questions, just give me a call at my office, which is 800-872-8852. Now, be sure you have a pad of paper and a pen handy, because I had promised you a cheesy chicken recipe yesterday, and I didn't have enough time to get that out, so we're going to be talking about that, and I will want to share that with you. Also, I just want to just add a little bit of something. When I was talking about your thoughts, there's a few secrets about getting happy. If you really want to do some things for yourself, if you're sort of feeling during the winter months like it's sort of low energy, then why don't you use nature as a tool? Because nature has so many wonderful, wonderful things that you can just bring into your own environment. Why not use some living flowers? Yes. And you can get bright colored flowers and put them right in the middle of a table or on your office desk, and you'll have them to look at, and they're automatically going to make you feel good. Europeans really have had a very strong attitude about that for centuries. The living flowers were always something that they wanted to have in their environment. Also, you know, if you can clear some of your space around you. If you are like me and you find after you may clear everything up, and then just within a month or two, all of a sudden you have papers and documents and things that seem to be growing, having babies of their own. And you go, oh my goodness, where did all that clutter come from? Well, when you clear space out, it really makes a difference. And if you feel a little concerned about getting older, well, don't worry about that. You know, in many cultures, especially Asian cultures, as one gets older, you are respected. Because every birthday that you have probably in the year prior to that birthday accomplished certain things. So why don't you make a list of what you've accomplished and celebrate the wisdom you've gained? It'll boost your spirit. Also, get involved with something that maybe you're helping somebody else out, or you're involved in creative activity. Do something, and you'll find that your mood is going to change. You're going to find that the winter blues are not going to be getting to you the way they perhaps would otherwise. Oh, and by the way, I came across this information. I don't know, maybe you have a spouse that snores. And you know, women snore. Men typically are the ones that have the most of the problem with snoring. And there's about 37 million, they guesstimate, that are nightly noisemakers, as they call them. And they say if your mate sounds like a buzzsaw or complains that you do, here are four suggestions to silence some of the racket. Now, often chronic sinusitis or allergies can cause snoring. And there's a sleep expert, Sarah Zalek. She's with the St. Francis Sleep Disorders Clinic in Peoria, Illinois. She said you can relieve congestion with the herb butterbur, B-U-T-T-E-R-B-U-R. It's been shown in a recent study to be as effective as a prescription antihistamine, Allegra, without the drowsy side effects. You might want to check that out. And she said the proven dose is 100 milligrams of standardized butterbur extract like Tadalex. And I thought that was something that would be good to share. Also, Queen Elizabeth II and the entire British royal family, well, they've been known for years using homeopathic medicines to cure ills. Why? Because they work. Homeopathy has been around a long time. And there's a homeopathic remedy called SnoreStop that seems to really help snoring. And it seemed, as it was described, to cut the buzz in half for almost two-thirds of snorers. And you can go to a website, snorestop.com. That's snorestop.com. It's available in spray or pills. Also, something that is very helpful is if you sing. Mm-hmm. Yes. Why? Because if you do that for about 20 minutes a day, it seems to reduce snoring. They say it's like a mini gym for the throat. It tones up the areas where snoring takes place. And there's a site, Singing for Snorers. You think you hear of everything, but you haven't. So it's Singing for Snorers. And also, you want to sleep on your side because it reduces snoring. It makes your throat less likely to vibrate. And if you want to try something, I don't know how comfortable this would be, you can use Velcro to attach tennis balls across the shoulder blades of your PJs. That way, if you roll onto your back, you land on a ball, which causes you to go back on your side. And one of the things that contributes to snoring is overweight. Extra pounds pad the fatty tissue in the throat, which narrows the airway and causes snoring. So if you can just lose 10% of your excess weight, it often makes a dramatic difference. So those are some tips if you have a problem with snoring or if you have a significant other that does. These are some really good tips, especially the homeopathic remedies that can assist you. This is Donna Sebo. We're going to be taking a break. It's an open mic day. Give me a buzz if you'd like to chat. 877-876-5227. All I need from you is your first name or initial. I always like to know where you're calling from, too. Also, 888-810-8322. If you're in Canada, that's a toll-free number. 888-810-8322 or 530-876-3222. We're going to be taking a break. We are going to be back shortly. I'll be sharing a story with you about Denzel Washington, a little bit of this, a little bit of that, and also that recipe that I promised for cheesy chicken. So don't go away.
As a counselor, Donna Sebo is available for private consultations by appointment. These can be done by telephone or in person. If you'd like to schedule an appointment with Donna, call 253-582-5604 or 800-872-8852. That's 253-582-5604 or outside of Pierce County, 800-872-8852.
Are you concerned about nutrition? Do you work hard to eat right, try to feed yourself and your family nutritious food? Well, you'll want to know about glyconutrients. What are they? These are sugars that are present in nature, however, we're not getting them in our food anymore. Scientific study is proving that these sugars are necessary for all cellular and immune system function. Over 20,000 studies are conducted each year on glycoforms alone. These are the sugar protein structure that line each and every cell of the body. 4 out of the last 8 Nobel Prizes in physiology have been awarded for research in the area of cellular communication and how these sugars work in the body. This is Donna Sebo. Every day I bring to you information that will empower and light up your life. I would like to invite you to visit my website, DelphiInternational.com, and find out more about these glyconutrients. That's DelphiInternational.com. Go to my website, go to the left side of the screen, tap on the button that says glyconutrients. MIT's Technology Review, February 2003, states that glycomics is one of the 10 emerging technologies that will change the world. Education is the key to advancement of understanding and making our lives better. Visit my site, DelphiInternational.com. Go to the left side of the screen and tap on the button that says glyconutrients. I know it'll make a difference for you, as it has for me.
Hi, this is Donna Sebo. Give me a buzz if you'd like to chat, 877-876-5227. I'd be delighted to light up your life with a little bit of intuitive insight. From Canada, 888-810-8322, and also 530-876-3222. And all I need from you is your first name or initial, and then after that, I'll give you my mental impressions, and then you're welcome to ask me about anything that you like. This is an open mic day. Denzel Washington is an actor that I really appreciate and respect. I think he's extremely talented. I've always enjoyed the films that he's done. And when I came across an interview that he had participated in, I thought it was so profound and significant, because this is a man who, when he was asked about where everything began for him, he really gave some wonderful, wonderful information that I thought would be perhaps inspiring to you. So often we wonder how successful people get to where they are. We are curious. We think that they're just lucky. But usually every successful person has a significant story to tell, and Denzel Washington is one of those. And there are a number of people along the way that assist us in getting to where we want to be. Nobody ever gets to that big positioning by themselves. We've got a caller, so before we talk about Denzel Washington, we're going to go to this caller. Welcome them to the show. First name or initial, and where are you calling from?
I'm Nancy, and I'm from Olympia, Washington.
Hi, Nancy.
Hi.
How's it down in Olympia?
Yeah.
Well, Nancy, what I'm looking at with you is hard work. There are some specific objectives that I think you have been earnestly working towards for at least 3 years. And when I'm watching you in my mind, I feel as if there is so much that you have accomplished. And sometimes you're getting discouraged because you wonder if you should drop the ball. I want to say no, don't. What you might want to do, though, is get some good feedback about how you can refine what you're doing so that you can have a narrower focus rather than as broad a one, so you can reach a particular portion of what your objective is, and then it will have a domino effect that will enable you to get the whole picture as you would desire it to be. I do think that this year is going to involve interaction on so many levels of your life to a very intense degree. Professionally, I think there are some real serious areas that you want to look at. You are wanting to make a major shift. You don't feel economically like you're quite ready to do that. And all I would say is do your homework, be patient, invest in yourself, because that shift is coming. I think it might even be this year. If not this year, then it will be the first part of next year. What I'm looking at also is your personal life. Relationships changing for you dramatically. You're looking at certain situations with particular people, and you're wondering if it's worth putting the time and the effort on an ongoing basis. And you are going to make some decisions that will enable you to determine how you want to, let's say, maintain the connection, but disengage in a way and manner that doesn't make you feel like you're obligated. So you're going through, I think, this year, a major transformation, because you're taking time to really think through what your priorities are to be. And so by narrowing your focus, and again, if you need insight from someone, you know, go to someone that you really have respect for and that can look at the bigger picture as well as what you might need to look at in a smaller picture of focus. And I think you will be so pleased with the result, and you won't feel like you're treading water so much of the time. You are going to actually see movement and a progress forward. But believe me, you've put in the work. You've been refining a lot of things in your life, and you've done a good job. You've really done a good job. So you need to pat yourself on the back for that. You just need to know you're going to refine it down a little bit more. What would you like to ask me today?
Wow, that was fantastic.
Now, why was that fantastic?
That was, you know, I feel like I've been treading water and going in all places but not accomplishing anything. And, you know, with what you said, when I look back, you know, yeah, I have come a long way. I just haven't gotten to the point where I am desiring to go.
Where is it you want to go, Nancy? What is it you want to do?
Well, I'm a healer. and I work in a hospital, but not as a healer. I'm just I am an assistant, and I want to use my healing modalities more on more people, but because I'm obligated to my job to earn the finances to survive, I'm not able to get out of the workplace yet.
All right, let me ask you a question, if you don't mind.
No.
What kind of healing modality are you involved with?
Right now, Reiki and Jinshin.
All right.
Quantum touch.
All right. Let me make a suggestion to you. And that is, because you have this background, I would like to see you in the environment that you're in the working environment that you're in.
Mm-hmm.
If you have the opportunity to do your work quietly, for example, let's say there is a patient or someone that is sitting in the waiting room, and maybe they're just not feeling very well, and you can go to them and maybe say, put your hand on their shoulder, you know, not in an overbearing way, but, you know, maybe just give them a light touch and do your healing and just say, are you feeling okay? Can I get you a glass of water? Can I do something? Do you see the picture I'm trying to create for you?
Yes, I do.
All right. You can do little things like this. And then I would encourage you, since you have a love for this, to be able to find persons who are supportive of practitioners like yourself. And they are professionals. You wish to reach that level of professional acceptance yourself for what you do and for what you love. And ask them if you can assist them, if you can serve as an apprentice to them or be supportive of them in some way. And see if they'll let you work with them.
Okay.
And then that way you have, by association, professionally, as well as on a personal level, a sense of satisfaction. Now, you may not get paid for this, but it's something that you're doing, and people will come to trust you. And you can, at a certain point, decide when you want to charge for your time, but then you can gently let people know that you're available and that this is what you do. You just start letting people know that you do this and then do it on your own time. Set up maybe one day a week if you have a place in your home. But I would recommend that you consider working with some people who are experienced with this, so that you're comfortable and you're in that environment that is supportive of you. And I'm sure
awesome.
There's plenty of people in Olympia.
Pardon?
I said I'm sure there's plenty of people in Olympia that would be very supportive of this.
Yeah, it's getting to be that way.
And if not Olympia, then look at some of the other communities around you. Find out who's doing what. But many, many medical professionals are themselves starting to go in for training with the Reiki and with the acupressure and acupuncture and the studying of so many different things, because they're finding that there's a value to it. You know, it all has a place.
Right. Oh, my goodness. Thank you.
Well, you're very welcome. How'd you learn about the show?
Well, I've been listening to other various shows, but since I called out sick today, and I have been sick for the last week, I thought, well, you know what, I'm okay to sit up now. I don't get dizzy when I'm sitting up, so I thought, well, let me see what's playing. And I heard you once before some time ago, and I thought, wow, this is awesome. So it was very lucky that I was able to get on the air and even hear you.
Well, I'm so glad you called in, and thanks for being a regular listener to BBS. That's wonderful.
Well, thank you for all that you do for us.
Well, you be sure and tell your friends about the show, too, and also the archives that we have. So if you miss a show, you can go in and you can hear the archives, and you don't have to miss any of the wonderful guests and the wonderful points of information that we share.
Thank you so much.
You are welcome, Nancy. You have a fabulous, fabulous day.
You too. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. This is Donna Sebo. If you'd like to call in and chat with me, today is an open mic day at 877-876-5227. for the U.S. or from Canada, 888-810-8322. Or we also have 530-876-3222. I started talking to you before we had our call about Denzel Washington, and he made a comment in this interview. He said, "I don't care what you do for a living. If you do it well, I'm sure there was someone that was cheering you on or showing the way, and that would be a mentor." And boy, I know I can testify to that, that I've had so many wonderful people that have been in my life. And he said, "I've had that push in my life, going back as far as I can remember." And he said, "One of the first pushes in my life came from Boys Club in Mount Vernon, New York." He said, "I had good parents, but they were both working. They had to work to support the family." And he said, "I spent a lot of time there as a kid." And he said, "Boy, by the time I was 6 years old, the Boys Club was my whole world." And he said, "From the people that were mentoring at the Boys Club," he said, "I learned how to play ball, I learned how to focus and how to set my mind on a goal." And he said, "I also learned that I was going to be responsible for the consequences of my actions, right or wrong." And he said, "One of the very, very special men that made a particular impression on me was Billy Thomas. He just always made each and every one of we boys just feel like we were just so significant and so special." And he said, I was so impressed with this man, I even tried to copy his handwriting. And he said, "To this day, I still have a flourish that is very similar to Billy's flourish." And he said, he would just get so excited about all the kids that were with him. And every kid that graduated from high school, he'd want them to bring a pennant from the high school they attended, and even one from the college. He always gave recognition to every one of his boys. And he said, "When I walked in there and I saw all these pennants, I said, 'Wow, look at all these kids, what they accomplished. I can do anything. Anything is possible.'" So he said there was a player, Gus Williams, a ball player. He went out to USC on a basketball scholarship, and he said, "I can still remember him standing in that Boys Club hallway looking up at his USC pennant, and he said, it just so impressed me. He said, I thought, if Gus can make it, so can I." And he said, that was the beginning for me. So I'll share some more of the inspiration that made Denzel Washington a success, and when we come back from break, you'll be able to hear more of it. If you'd like to chat with me, 877-876-5227. This is an open mic day. Or 888-810-8322. Don't you go away now.
If you're searching for the perfect gift for a child, consider God's Kiss by Donna Sebo. That's right. Donna is not only a mental practitioner and psychic, she's an author as well. God's Kiss beckons all children and the young at heart to enter the dream world of a little traveler named Johnny. You can order your book today by sending a check or money order to Mrs. Sebo's Classics, Post Office Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497. That's Post Office Box 97272. To Tacoma, Washington, 98497. If you'd like both the book and cassette, you pay $19.95 plus applicable tax and shipping charges. This is the book for your favorite child of any age. Donna Sebo's God's Kiss is about a child's sense of place in the world, and it's destined to be a children's classic. Order now. Call 800-872-8852. God's Kiss is written by Donna Sebo and illustrated by Ed Ged Rose. Buy it today, 800-872-8852.
Hi, this is Donna Sebo. Don't forget, tomorrow we're going to be talking about the four realities of success during and after college. Bob Ross is going to be my guest. And then on Friday, we're going to be talking about the tobacco holocaust, Dr. Michael Rabinoff. So you want to tell your friends, and especially the one on tobacco is really going to be interesting. I got quite an education about that. I'm not a smoker myself, and I'll tell you, if you know of anybody that wants to quit, this is a must-have book. And the four realities of success during and after college, great information for young people. So we've got two wonderful guests coming up. As I was saying about Denzel Washington, here he was with a Boys Girls Club. Also, he learned about the work ethic, and his work ethic was taught to him by a man by the name of Jack Coleman. Now, he started working when he was 11 or 12. He wanted to make money. His family said that's fine. And Jack Coleman took Kim under his wing, and he had a wonderful, wonderful barber shop, and he ended up being Mr. Coleman's cleanup guy. Now, that may not sound very significant, but he learned the principles of courtesy, learned the principles of good business, and as soon as a customer would finish being taken care of and groomed by Mr. Coleman, Denzel said he'd be on them with a whisk broom, brushing off their collar, saying, "Man, you look good. Is there anything I can do for you?" And he said, "I made really good tips just with that extra personal attention that I would give." And he said, "I would watch Mr. Coleman, and I saw how much work he had to do to make himself successful. And he wasn't just the head barber of the shop he was running." He said he was a man that really cared about the people that sat in his barber's chair. And with the employees that he had a small staff, he had to close at 6:30. And he said one day when someone walked in at 6:35, he said, "Am I late?" He said, "No, you're early. You're first. You're the first one up tomorrow morning." He never, ever violated the time for his employees so that they could get home on time. And then he said he saw through education the big world that was out there that was going to be available to him. He had a modest scholarship that he got going to Oakland Academy in upstate New York. And he said, "We were in that group of kids that was labeled the troubled kids. This is why we were given the scholarship." He said, "Gee whiz, we weren't really so troubled." He said, "We were just in an environment where we had to have street savvy and we also had to be good in school." And he said, "My mom paid my tuition in this academy." And he said, "When I saw the amount of money she had to pay," he said, "she was doing little tiny payments at a time, and the school worked with her on this so that he could get his education." And he said that made him aware that there was a big world out there for him to be a part of. And the only way he could really be a part of it is if he was willing to get the education. And he said there was a point when acting became a part of his attention. And he said it was an old man that was teaching a class on the arts, and he absolutely had a passion for Shakespeare. And he turned to Denzel one day and asked him to perform a particular act out of Hamlet. And he said, "It scared me to death. Wow," he said, "I didn't think I could do it." But he said, "This old man saw something in me," and to this day, Denzel cannot remember this man's name. But he said, "That was the beginning of my doing skits, and then when he was going to a summer camp and they were doing skits of different types, someone said, 'Boy, you're good. Have you ever thought of becoming an actor?'" And he said, "Well, you know, I did play Hamlet once." Life has its twists and turns, just like Margaret Fontaine said. And it's the same thing with Denzel Washington. He said, "You've got to believe in yourself." And this is one of his final points in the interview. He said, "You must really believe in yourself the way other people do." He had an English teacher by the name of Bob Stone that loved the theater and really felt that Denzel Washington had wonderful talent and should be on the stage. Because of that belief, he wrote a wonderful letter for Denzel Washington where he said to the grad school he ended up going to, he said, "If you don't have the talent to nurture this young man, then don't accept him." And do you know that Denzel Washington carried that letter around in his pocket? And he still has it. He still looks at it every once in a while. Those words gave him encouragement when it was not so successful at auditions, when he was turned away, when he was rejected. So he said, no matter who you are, for you to be successful, you have a number of role models along the way that are going to inspire you. And this sort of closes the program full circle. Remember how I started out with Robert Carlson's information about thoughts? It's the same thing. What do you accept? What is it that you believe about yourself? What do you want to demonstrate in your life? That is what can make the difference for you. It works for Denzel Washington. We all have difficult times. We all have lessons of learning we're going to go through. I've yet to meet a person that hasn't gone through it, and it's the same thing with you. So keep in mind, If you want to nurture your heart, your mind, and your spirit, start building a library that has material in it. Whenever you just feel like you're in a mental funk, you can go in and pull something out. I look at books as friends. They're wonderful friends. They never get tired of you opening them up. They always rest comfortably with you wherever you go, whether it's on a plane, on a lounge chair in your backyard, or sitting in front of a fireplace when the snow is blowing outside. It doesn't make any difference where you are. Books are friends. And they will nurture your mind, your heart, and your spirit. And also listen to programming here on BBS Radio and the Donna Sebo Show. I like to think that when we do programming, we are nurturing your heart, your mind, your spirit, so that you can recognize the greatest potential that's within you. After all, you're the only one that can express it. You're the only one that can think the thoughts, think the ideas. You're the only one that can put the action into place for it. And I'm so delighted to be able to do that with you. So, Denzel Washington, thank you for sharing your wisdom and your insight and what you had to go through to be able to achieve what you have. Now, again, I want to remind you, our guests this week are going to be tomorrow, Bob Roth, for the Four Realities of Success During and After College. Also Friday, Tobacco Holocaust. Dr. Michael Rabinoff is going to be our guest. And we have so many other wonderful people lined up. Be sure you take the time, too, to visit the archives. If you miss a show, just know that you can go in and you can listen to the programming. And the programming during the month of January is all current. We've got a new system on, and we are catching up with the old archives as well. So you're going to be able to go in and listen at your leisure right here at bbsradio.com. And for those of you who have been sending me emails, I want to thank you so much. I am going through them, finally getting to a point where I think I'm beginning to catch up with everything that was sent. So if you would, just go ahead. If you have a story, something special you want to share, send it to Donna at DelphiInternational.com. That's Donna at DelphiInternational.com. And remember always, you're the master of your fate. You are the captain of your soul. And you can maintain that strength and positioning of stance by remembering life is to be lived in the moment, and your thoughts make it happy, sad, glad, or whatever else you want it to be. So keep an eye on your thoughts and make them sparkle. This is Donna Sebo. I'll be back with you tomorrow, same time, same place, right here on bbsradio.com. Bye for now.
You have been listening to The Donna Sebo Show. If you would like a copy of today's broadcast, send $10 to The Donna Sebo Show, P.O. Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497-0272. Be sure to put the date of the broadcast in your request. If you are not able to be a part of today's program, join Donna and her guests Monday through Friday, and she will be here to take your calls. Thank you for listening and being part of our program. Have a wonderful day.